Hi, I'm Snips editor Michael McConnell. Welcome to the Snips Podcast. For this month's podcast, I'm going to be joined by Audrey LaForest, Snips associate editor, as we interview two of the people Audrey talked to for her October cover story on women in the HVAC and sheet metal industries. We're going to be talking with Angela Simon, the president of Western Allied Mechanical, and Laura DiFilippo, one of the owners of a Pennsylvania-based HVAC service company. I hope you enjoy the podcast. So I'm here with Audrey LaForest. Audrey, how are you?
I'm doing well, Mike. Thanks.
Welcome. So you just wrote this story for us about women in the sheet metal HVAC industry. How did that go?
It went really well. I think I spoke with about 8 women in total, and I learned a lot about the industry and about how women are doing in it.
And so how are they doing it?
They're actually doing really well. Most of the women I spoke with basically said that they're in love with what they do, they're successful in what they do, and they're really not facing the same discrimination that they may have faced when they were just starting out in the 80s or the 90s. So they're doing really well.
Are they disappointed that the numbers of the other women that are in the industry, or do they just accept that, or do they not think about it much? I mean, how does that come up?
I would say, for the most part, most of the women were hopeful that more women would be joining the industry, and they do see a need for more women to be joining. I think one of the biggest barriers is just for the younger women, grade school, high school, to see that there are opportunities available to them in the industry and that it's not just a boys' club anymore. There are a ton of roles in sales or marketing as technicians that they can be a part of.
I have seen more women, anecdotally, I have seen more women in engineering positions where they would be designing the buildings, you know, sitting at a computer, doing the computer drafting, that type of work. So who did you speak to for this story?
I spoke with Angie Simon of Western Allied Mechanical. I spoke with Carol Duncan of General Sheet Metal. I spoke with Laura DiFilippo of DiFilippo Service Company, Don Norris at Forced Air Systems. I spoke with Nikki Liddy and Michelle Miel of Windy City Women in HVAC. And I spoke with Ruth Ann Davis of Women in HVACR. And then lastly, wow, I spoke with Teresa Schubert, who is a sheet metal apprentice at General Sheet Metal.
Do a ton of people.
Yeah, I spoke with a lot of women, and I learned a lot. They were really welcoming to give me information on the industry, and I think they're all pretty hopeful for the most part.
And for this podcast, we're going to be interviewing a couple of them. Who are we going to be interviewing first?
We are interviewing Angie Simon first of Western Allied Mechanical. She's based in California, and she's now the president of the company. And in 2020, she will actually be SMACNA's first female president.
Oh, wow. What's the background of Laura DiFilippo?
She is vice president and co-owner of DiFilippo Service Company. She actually works right alongside her husband, Vince. I think she actually got into the industry because there was an opening and a need for some administration duties at the company. So she started doing that part-time, and then eventually she was just like, you know what, I'm going to stay. So she has.
All right, let's dive into those interviews.
Sounds great. All right, so for any of our readers who don't know yet, I wrote the cover story on women in HVAC and how they're doing in 2016. I was really moved by the story that you told me, Angie, about the superintendent telling you to leave the coordination meeting when you were working as a project manager in the mid-80s. Not necessarily because you did anything wrong, but because you were a woman. But despite that situation, you've stayed in the industry and you've worked your way up to important leadership roles. In your experience, has the industry improved for women since then?
Oh, yes, I would think so. I see a lot of changes. You know, maybe not as fast as we'd like, but it certainly has changed. I mean, even just in our country, STEM, and which is the science and math for women and kids, period, but women, particularly girls in high school and grade school, is being stressed a lot more as well. So, yes, the industry's changed. It's just a very, very slow changing industry, and we probably just need to get more women involved and out in front of people so that women will think about, hey, this is an opportunity in this industry. But I certainly know have we do not come across any type of, you know, 73-year-old superintendent like that anymore that really seems to be doing that. And if we do, maybe California is also very progressive, so maybe we don't have that here, and maybe it's in other parts of the country. But overall, I think the attitude is changing.
I had a quick question. If case people haven't read Audrey's story yet or seen any information on the website, where is your business located?
Western Alley Mechanical. We're in Menlo Park, California. So Menlo Park is right near Stanford, and we are right in the heart of the Bay Area.
Okay. You were talking about getting more women to think about the career. I mean, sheet metal and HVAC is kind of one of those industries that seems to be under the radar, like a lot of construction jobs. I mean, people, men too, don't necessarily think about it as a career unless they have, you know, family members that have been in it or what have you. So kind of you have a double challenge there, don't you think?
I do. I think so. And I was actually, of all the information in the article that Audrey wrote, which was great, I was a little bit surprised about how low a percentage there are of women in sheet metal and in air conditioning. I mean, to be under 2% still in regards to that is a very low number. I do think that maybe going forward, we're seeing much more interest in the HVAC industry in the academic side, like the mechanical engineering side, because the kids in college know that a mechanical contractor can make a difference, because basically 75 or 65% of the energy used in the world is used by buildings. And so because now it's very important to be sustainable and green, the HVAC industry makes a big difference in the future of the world. And so I'm seeing a lot more interest in the school side, the mechanical engineering and graduate side. We're having a lot easier time finding graduates that are interested in our industry. So I'm hoping that can also translate a little bit to the field side, and they start to realize that the work that we do is really a lot of fun. We have great, interesting buildings. In the Bay Area, we are really cutting edge, and we have net zero buildings. We've got the Apple Project that we don't have it, but the Bay Area has the Apple Project that is a super unique building, and it's a lot of fun stuff that we do here. And I'm hoping that as times change, that we'll get that word out that this is a great industry to work in.
And now, what can businesses and industry leaders do to spread the word for women and men that there are really great employment opportunities available? Does advertising or marketing, things like that, need to be pursued more heavily?
Yeah, you know, I think particularly on the trade level, I really think we do. I was happy to speak with one of our union partners from SMART, that SMART is actually making an effort and right now to attract women into the industry. So I told him I would love to help with that. Our local area also as well, we're starting to look at that. I really do think that the trade industry, the union industry, needs to work harder on advertising this for women, because we're struggling to get, when we say manpower, but we're struggling to get labor and people that are interested in the trades. And we have a whole untapped resource with women. And I really do think that our industry is also getting a little bit less physical and more technical with the advent of BIM and prefabrication. It's a less of a physical. It's not as much of a pound and lift all the heavy stuff. A lot of times right now we're prefabbing everything. So it's an industry that I think is set up very well for women. So, yes, I do think we need to do a better job at advertising and making them aware. I know Canada has a nice program within Canada, so we should probably look at that and try to model something like that.
Has Canada had more success getting women into the industry? I haven't gone up there to study that in a little while.
I looked at their program and all their advertising, and I was very impressed. I don't know what their numbers are, and it is something probably over the course of the next year or two I will probably look to find out. But their advertising and program, you know, advertising trying to get women seems to be quite an impressive marketing event. So I'd like to find that out myself.
Back up for a second before we go too much further. If in case people haven't read the story that we, our cover story yet in SNPs, can you just briefly go and tell our listeners how you ended up in the sheet metal industry?
Sure. You know, my dad was an electrical engineer, worked for the Navy. And growing up in high school, I did enjoy math and science, but I was also very into sports, and I really wanted to play softball in college. So I ended up picking a school, Cal Poly in San Luis Obispo, that had a softball program I knew I could play in. And I know my dad pushed me a little bit. I said, hey, you know, this HVAC solar option sounds interesting, because solar energy was the energy crisis, and that was very interesting. But I also thought PE sounded really good, too, or natural resource management and forestry injury. But my dad encouraged me to start with the engineering side. And I enjoyed my classes, and it was usually me and maybe one other woman in our classes. We generally, a class of 30 or 40, there was two ladies. So I knew off the bat that we're not going to see a lot of ladies in this business. So, but enjoyed my classes, got out as a mechanical engineer, and went to work for a contractor for 1 year, and then came to Western Allied as a project manager, and been here 30 years. And always have been very short on females, but you know what, I'm into sports and I'm into team, and it's never bothered me one bit. I play hardball with mostly guys now, so it's generally myself and one other lady playing with about 100 guys.
And now a lot of the women I spoke with said that really you just have to be tough as a woman in the industry and kind of earn your way and, you know, just try to do the best job that you can do to earn your spot. But what advice would you give a woman who's struggling in the industry with the stereotypes that it's more of a boys' club?
There is that fine line. I mean, I guess you do need to be tougher than sometimes than you want to be. It doesn't mean you need to drop F-bombs and things like that. That's not probably the tough we're talking about. Really what we're talking about is things like, you know, I will say I worked very hard to, even if something got very emotional, I got very upset, I worked very hard. You don't ever want to let you see them cry. There's no crying in baseball. There's probably no crying in construction as well. But that's important. But more than that, I just really think if you pay attention to detail, and you pay attention to detail, you look at what you're doing, and you take care of your like for me as a project manager, my young project manager was take care of my foreman. Get my foreman what he needed, and basically get his answers, get him his equipment, get his material, and if you take care of him, he will go to bat for you all day. So, and get the answers to your clients and take care of the issues. And really, I've never had the challenge of somebody, you know, maybe if I didn't get something done, somebody yelled at me, but basically you say, hey, I'm sorry, I'll get it done quicker next time. Not really, shouldn't be any different from a female to a male in regards to that. So I think, again, it's really focused on just do your job well, and you're going to fit in just fine.
Wonderful. Mike, do you have any more questions for Angie?
Well, you kind of covered a lot of this, so I don't want to be redundant, but have you personally been frustrated by the lack of women in the industry, or maybe frustrated is the wrong word, but disappointed, or I guess, you know, whatever word you want to use?
Well, I will say when I was starting, there really was no mentor for me in regards to being in the industry. I mean, there was no other female project managers around to look up to or to follow, so that was frustrating a little bit. And the biggest one I'm finding is women do have a unique challenge that men don't, and that is motherhood. I mean, the fact that there's a good chance that we're going to go off and have a family, and that we do have to go have the baby versus the men who are going to go off and have a family but not have the baby. So the women need to communicate with other women. I typically have a lunch every summer out when the end of our internships. We have interns every summer, and we get all of our female engineers, female project managers, and our female interns. We go out to lunch together and share stories about how could I continue to do my job in construction with a family, and, you know, tell them the little tricks. And this, your spouse is extremely important in him carrying his load on that side of it. But, again, it's really nice now to be able to share those stories and say, you know, you can do it. You can do it all if you want to. Women are great multitaskers, and so, but it is important. It was frustrating for me because I really felt like I was in it by myself. But I had a great spouse, and he helped me get through that. And part of the progression I've had was nothing I necessarily planned. When I started at Western Allied, I did not plan to be an owner and the president of the company. But I think I just enjoyed what I was doing. I loved the industry, and as I worked my way through it, I was able to continue to succeed. Now my goal is to do that, to mentor and to give everybody some advice and help them and let them know that they're not by themselves out there. It's very important. I think that a message needs to be gotten out of there. I'm looking forward to going through the chairs with National SMACA and making that part of what I'd like to share with everybody is the fact that women can do this job and it's not something that they should be afraid of.
Are you going to be SMACA president then in the next year or two?
It would be October of 2019 to October of 2020. I will be the first woman president, yeah.
Congratulations.
Well, thank you. I'm a little hesitant because it's a big deal, but, but I'm excited.
Do you ever, you have a mentoring female employees, do you ever have a chance to go out maybe, I don't know, to colleges or trade schools that the union's running and talk to them if they have any female students or even just, you know, male students? Do you ever talk to people that are coming into the industry or considering the industry?
I have at the high school and middle school level.
Okay.
I haven't done it at the college level, mainly because at that point, usually they're already into it. But I have a number of friends from actually college that are, two of them are both teachers in high schools, and one of them being, well, was at a SMACA convention in Palm Springs, and she asked me to come talk to her class, and it ended up being that she got like four classes, so we had about 100 kids in there. But I am happy to do that, and I am involved in some women organizations for construction around here, though we've gone into middle schools and given talks as well. I think we need to get women earlier when they're girls to understand it's not an industry that they should be afraid of. So I do think that as a lot of the ladies groups that we have, the different construction groups, are making a focus to try to get into schools early to give them people knowledge about this. And junior colleges would also be a good spot to talk, I think. I haven't done that. And I have not talked to the unions.
Okay.
But there's not a lot of ladies to talk to at the unions.
No. Occasionally I'll see some. I'll send me a class photo of a current class, and I'll see one or two, or none. But you'll see a few. I think that covers everything I had. Did you have more, Audrey, or no?
No, I'd say I'm good on my end. Angie, would you like to add anything?
You know, I appreciate this. I've always been a little uncomfortable with this, any kind of PR stuff, but I also am trying to step outside of that because it is really important for us to get the word around, because the sheet metal industry, which I have fallen in love with over the years, and I am not from a family-owned business. I did not get into this because my dad was in sheet metal, but I was so surprised to find out how many family-owned businesses there were and that the vast majority of sheet metal contractors seem to be family-owned businesses. But I want to encourage the family-owned businesses to understand that their daughters or their daughter-in-laws or their any of the women in their lives can be involved in the business as well, because it surprised me back in 2007 when I got on the national board for the first time that there'd never been a woman on the board, on the national board, and I was surprised saying, but they're family-owned businesses, where are all the women? And so I really want those owners of those businesses, and a lot of them are formal sheet metal workers, to look at it and say, there are women that can do this job. It's a great business. It's a great industry. I'm in love with the industry, and I like doing what we do, and I know that many more women will. So I'd like to try to step out of my normal role and step into that and say, let's do some encouraging of women.
Well, really appreciate you taking the time to record this podcast as well as talking to Audrey for the story a few weeks ago.
No problem. It's been very enjoyable. I appreciate the time.
All right, well, I will, with luck, I'll see you in Phoenix.
Yes, we're looking for you in Phoenix for sure.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Take care.
Thank you. All right, so we are here with Laura DiFilippo, Vice President and Co-Owner of DiFilippo Service Company. Hi, Laura. How are you?
Good morning, Audrey. I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. So for any of our readers who have not yet read our October cover story on female HVAC workers in the industry, can you briefly tell us how you got involved in the HVAC industry?
Absolutely. I married into this industry. My husband was part of a family business. It's been around for over 40 years. And I was doing something completely different, transitioning to be a stay-at-home mom, and he needed help with the business like many small contractors do. He was trying to do everything himself, which is practically impossible, and asked me for some help, and it sort of started very small. And then I got involved more in the industry. The more I was here and the more I started working and the more time I just realized there was so much that needed to be done on the business side of the business that he just couldn't get to. I mean, and it's not really his passion anyway. And so I started to really take a larger role in helping the business itself. While I was doing that, I sort of figured out that I could use some help, some mentoring, some whatnot, and that's how I got involved with ACCA and organizations to try to help, mentor me and help us, do things here that we didn't know how to do and to be able to ask questions and those kinds of things. So that's how that all kind of came about.
Laura, this is Mike McConnell, Snips Editor. How are you?
Hi, Mike. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. For our readers and listeners that may not be as aware, the ACCA is the Air Conditioning Contractors of America, and you were you had a leadership position with them not too long ago, right?
I did. Thanks for asking. I'm very proud of that. I was their national chairman for 2012, the first woman ever in the 44 years when I did it. I guess it's 48 years now because I'm 48 years old. It's 48, first woman chairman ever, and I worked with, I continue to work with ACCA, even as a past chairman, but I was on the board of directors for 12 years for the National Board of Directors and served in every leadership position there that there was.
Wow, okay.
And now, while I was doing some research for the story and talking with other women, it is really inspiring to see a lot of women in the industry are in more leadership positions, but there's still only 9% of U.S. construction workers that are women, according to 2015 data. What are some of the roadblocks or employment barriers that are making it harder for women to enter the industry?
Well, I think it's a lot of lack of knowledge that our industry really exists. I mean, I think we're one of those industries that, like, you know, people realize it when they need it, but when they don't need it, it's kind of not a thought. I don't know that as a young women and young men, they're in school. I mean, we have very little vo-tech programs now, so it's not a career path that a lot of people are taking at younger ages. I just think that they don't realize that there are tons and tons and tons of jobs available in this industry, and I don't think it's on the radar.
That's kind of true regardless of gender, right? I mean, that's true with a lot of men, too. They don't know that this is a trade that's out there.
Absolutely. I think it's regardless of any gender, any ethnic race, any minority, anything. I think people just don't realize it exists, and it has these amazing careers. I mean, I have a guy who is 24. He is the same age as my son who graduated from college a year ago. He has no student debt. He has just bought himself a house, and he is making an excellent living being a lead install technician.
That's great.
And now, I thought it was really interesting to learn that your company had never had a female HVAC technician apply. And then, kind of like what you were saying, how that reflects a skilled worker shortage in general. I know according to a 2015 report, in just six more years, they're expecting more than 115,000 additional HVAC jobs that will be needed. What should the industry do to ensure that these jobs are filled?
I think as an industry, we really need to pull together and do whatever we have to do to make it this industry active, aware, whether it's, you know, increase our involvement in government. Certainly, I know that there are a lot of really nice programs out there for veterans. That's a great market pool for us, for workers. I think the problem we have is this. I think that when I went to school, not everybody got into college. There was vo-tech education. There were girls that went into cosmetology back then. They probably have an issue with this, too, because of the vo-tech situation. I think there were a lot of boys that went into auto mechanics and girls and HVAC and plumbing and electrical. So they're not getting exposed to any of those things. So what's happening is then these kids are going, hey, I want to go on to whatever's next. You know, in the old days, not everybody got into college, and I think that's where a lot of the workforce came from because it was like, now what do I do? But today, everybody gets into college. And the problem is that we can't compete with that. I mean, when you talk to parents of kids that are going off to college, they are going with whatever school is throwing the most amount of money at them. And we as an industry need to start putting scholarship programs together. We need to start putting comprehensive training programs together. And we need to show people that, hey, you can have an amazing job, and you can be in your young 20s, and you can be debt-free, and you can be living an amazing life having a career in this industry. But I definitely think that we have to really look at the way colleges are approaching this and figure out how we as an industry can sort of mirror that in our industry to make it look so appealing. We just don't look appealing as somebody who's throwing tons of money and full, you know, rides at kids that are going to go off to college.
The statistics show that they may all be at least starting out or planning to go to college, but they certainly don't all graduate. So there's got to be a market there.
I agree. I think there's a market there. I mean, think of this. So someone comes, works here, and they have maybe they took some GE classes or whatever, and they're just starting out in this industry. So we're going to pay them as a contractor. I'm going to pay them to work here during the day and get on-the-job training, and then I'm going to help them pay for school. I mean, what parent wouldn't like that? And that's the other thing, too. I think that's the real ticket we're missing. We're talking about young people and trying to get, you know, these millennials, you know, their whole other story into this industry, finding ways to appeal to them. But, you know, I think a lot of times parents don't understand what a lucrative industry this is at every level. At every level, there are amazing lucrative jobs in this industry. And I just don't think people understand it.
Is your company or the ACCA in general doing anything to attract workers in general, as well as try to reach out to females, let them know there's some options there?
ACCA is an organization that reaches out to everybody. Our goal at ACCA is to help find workers of any kind,
okay. Anywhere,
because we know that this tech shortage is coming up. As a contractor, we are probably going to be the most affected by this. I just hired a guy, Mike. We, like, literally courted this guy for a year. It took us a year to find the right person and kind of, you know, very slowly interview, train, test, look at before we were like, yeah, this is the right guy. It takes us a long time to find somebody good.
Where did you find him from? Was he doing something else? What was he doing before you hired him?
He was going to school. school, and we had an ad out on Indeed, which is where I place ads, and he answered the ad, and he came in for an interview. Mm. And that's where we get a lot of our leads from, Indeed.
Mm. Okay.
But ACCA is putting together, and I don't know how far along they are, but they're putting a program together that was led by one of our other former chairman, Dave Kyle, about appealing to vets. Dave is in the D.C. area, so he really understands what great workers these people are. I mean, here they are coming out of the military looking for jobs, and here is this highly technical industry that's dying for people to work for us, and that it could really be a good fit. I know ACC is working very hard on this program to work with veterans.
Hmm. Okay. Is that the helmets, the hard hats, or is that a separate program from that? I know that one's out there.
I think it's a separate program than the hard hats.
Okay.
I think it's very similar, though.
Okay.
And now, are there any specific advertising or marketing campaigns that the industry or businesses such as yours or others that they're doing, especially maybe something like showing more women in photos of, like, construction or HVAC jobs?
I don't think there are. And honestly, I'm not doing that either. It's funny, when I read the article, and actually it is an excellent article, Audrey did a great job. It was very nice to read about all these amazing women. One of the key things that I read was a mentorship. And just about, I think that some of our issues are that, I think there's a lot of women in this industry. I think they kind of, they just don't go to the front. And I think that one of the things that we need to really, and I preach this every time anybody asks me to speak or anytime anybody asks me, what do we need to do, how do we need to get there, is that we women have to take more leadership roles. And it's important for us not only to take those roles, but then to mentor the next people that are coming in behind us. You know, actively talking to women in this industry and actively talking to people, not in this industry, and being like, hey, this could be awesome for you. You could have an amazing job. You'd be a great fit. I have friends in this industry, women that own businesses, and I'm always talking to them like, you know, you're amazing. You need to step forward so that other people can see you and see how amazing you are. And I think that if we can have more women leaders in this industry and they can get more publications and they can be out on the internet more and they can do those things, I think that would be really helpful.
And now, I know talking with a lot of the women, they all kind of said early on in their careers, they didn't realize that they could or that they were essentially role models for other women, especially younger women or younger students that they were interacting with. But it was later on, as they obtained their leadership roles, that they were like, hey, you know what, I think we do need to do a better job at reaching out to women in general and showing them that, hey, it's not just a boys' club in a sense.
I agree with that 100%. When I first got involved in going on the national level and going to conferences and that kind of stuff, there was, like, no women at the conferences. I was, like, one of five. Now there are so, like, when I have to wait in line for the bathroom, like, that's exciting to me. That means that there's that many women at the conference that I, like, have to wait in line. Mm-hmm. I mean, I didn't know. When I got involved, when I went, you know, back in 2003 when I joined the national board, I had no idea of that I was going to be a leader or a role model. Like, I just was this woman who was running a business, who got elected to a position on the board, you know, and it was difficult, and it was scary, and it was all those things. But, you know, when you're a leader, I think you have to learn how to navigate yourself through that, and you have to figure out, okay, so how do I do this, and how do I do it and be myself? And I think that's really an important message for any woman in this industry, is you got to be yourself. You have to be who you are, and you have to live your truth, and you don't have to change, or, you know, you don't have to be like, I'm not a non-technical person, so I'm not going to sit around and talk to you about technical stuff. I'm just not, because that's not my forte. Mm-hmm. And I think that's really important. I think I would hate for women to get involved in this industry and think that they have to change who they are, the essence of who they are, when that's not true at all. And that's, you know, I've always done this job. My dad gave me some great advice. After my first board meeting, I came home and I thought, oh, my God, I am in so far over my head. Like, what am I doing? And my dad said, you have two choices. You can either quit, which he knew I wouldn't because he said the word quit, or you can go back and you could be yourself. And I thought, okay, what's the worst that could happen? I can go back and be myself and maybe they won't let me back? Okay, well, the world's not going to end. And I think it's important for us to remember that as women that, you know, going into this, and I think a lot of times with male-oriented industries or any industry that's, like, very general, you know, whether it's for women or for men, I think it's important that women understand they can do this and be themselves.
Speaking about being yourself, have you ever encountered any overt or subtle hostility, or did you perceive anything like that in dealing with other either contractors or company owners or just anyone in the industry at all?
Sure, but I am not the kind of person that's going to let that stop me.
Okay.
So I think if you are going to play with the big boys, you got to know how to hang. And I think that's really important that, you know, if you're going to go to meetings and you're going to sit in there and you're going to have conversations with people, it's possible someone's going to say something that you're going to be like, I don't know how I feel about that. But the great thing is that we can say that to them. I don't know how I feel about this. Let's talk about this more. And I think, you know, communication, I think, is always really, really important in any relationships we have. And I think that there were times that people said things and I couldn't change their minds. I mean, you know, you talked in the article about, you know, Angela, you know, she walked into a meeting and they asked her to walk out. Have there times that I've felt like that? Sure. But have there times that I stayed anyway? Yes.
And now, looking to the future, do you see the industry getting more and more welcoming to women?
I think this industry, in this day and age, welcomes us with open arms. I do not feel that I have not seen personally in any place, and honestly, I mean, through my dealings with ACC, everybody at ACC has always been warm and welcoming, and I have never felt out of place or out of sync there. I think that some of the problem is our own thinking. I think some of it is that we think that the boys won't welcome us, or we think that the opportunities don't exist for us, when they actually do. I think that this industry would open its arms up to an army of women if they're going to fill the jobs we need to fill and play the roles we need to play. We would welcome them with open arms.
In the last few years, I've certainly noticed more women doing, you know, CAD work and some of that kind of industry stuff.
Well, those were actually...
That's okay. That's okay. I'm just giving an example of where I'm seeing one facet I'm seeing a lot more women doing that.
I was too. And I have to tell you, when I was chairman, I went to the ASHRAE conference.
Uh-huh.
And ASHRAE has the Young Engineers Group. I'm not exactly sure what they're called.
Right.
But there were so many bright young women in there. I was so impressed.
I think when I was doing another article, I discovered that in Angela Simon's background, she's been an ASHRAE member since the mid-80s. So she's been one since she was about 23 or 24 years old, I think. So.
Yeah, it was so encouraging to see, like I said, all these young women and young men. And I just thought, how great is that they're cultivating this, like, next generation?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is there anything that you wanted to mention that maybe we didn't bring up or just another point you wanted to make?
The other thing, I think that sometimes women struggle with industry because I think that as a woman, our biggest struggle, and I'm sure Audrey would agree with me, is balance. How do you balance it all? Like, how do you become a service tech who's on call and still be a great mom and a great wife and to do all those things? And I do think that things have changed in life, in our basic life, that men are taking on a lot more roles at home and those kinds of things. But I think for women, there's always that, like, you know, I want to, you know, can I have it all? Can I do it all? And I will say that I have built a career, and I've been a good mom. I think what I do for a living has been a good role model. I think my leadership position has been a good role model, especially raising a daughter. And I think that it's really important for us as an industry to worry more about what our needs are in order to fill the jobs and not worry so much about who's going to fill those jobs, what that's going to look like.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Laura. We really appreciate you chatting with us today.
Yes, thank you so much, Laura.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate it.
All right. Take care.
Thanks.
That's all for this month's podcast. I'm Snips editor Michael McConnell. On behalf of me and associate editor Audrey LaForest, thanks for listening.